people are always resistant to change. And this is changing, and it's happening, and it's going to happen one way or another. And so I think what is so great that IVPA is doing is stepping forward, taking the lead to help this community, author publishers, produce books at a high standard so that they hopefully will not be discriminated against because of a perception of poor quality.
That's Robbie Price, currently the board chair of IBPA, talking about the improving position of indie publishers and author publishers in the world. I spoke with a very busy Robbie Price in one of his few free moments at IBPA's Publishing University 2018 in Austin, Texas. We'll be listening to that full interview in just a moment. But first, let me welcome you to Inside Independent Publishing. Thanks for streaming in. I'm an independent publisher, and I'm your host, Peter Goodman. Inside Independent Publishing comes to you from IBPA, the Independent Book Publishers Association. IBPA's mission is to lead and serve the independent publishing community through advocacy, education, and tools for success. For more about IBPA and how we can help you be a better publisher and sell more books, whatever kind of publisher you are, go to ibpa-online.org. I invite you to write in with any publishing questions you have, and we'll try to answer them in a future podcast. To write to me or anyone at IBPA, just contact us on the IBPA site, or you can message us on Twitter using the handle @IBPA. Be sure to put the word podcast in the message so your question gets to the right place. As I mentioned just a moment ago, in early April of 2018, I attended IBPA's annual Publishing University held in Austin, Texas. If you've not been to a publishing university, I really recommend you go. Next year, it's in a place yet to be determined, somewhere on the East Coast, or at least in the eastern part of the United States. While I was at PubU this year, though, I was able to speak to nearly a dozen experts and publishing industry leaders. And today's podcast features Robbie Price, who is currently the board chair of IBPA. So we are here again at Publishing University 2018 in Austin, Texas. I'm talking with a bunch of speakers, presenters, IBPA celebrities, and I'm happy to report I've got an IBPA celebrity in the room. I'm talking with Robbie Price today. Robbie is currently the board chair of IBPA. He is additionally the president and head author manager of Gatekeeper Press in Columbus, Ohio. So welcome, Robbie. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me, Peter, and thank you even more for referring to me as a celebrity. That it validates.
Is that a first?
In my mind, no. In my mind, I'm a huge celebrity, but yes.
Yes, that is a first.
IBPA, I see. Board chair.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Well, before we talk about IBPA, because that is what the main subject of the conversation will be today, tell me a little bit about how you got involved in publishing.
So my story begins back when I was in college. And at that time, I was big into fitness. I was a personal trainer. I did weightlifting competitions. And I decided one day that people would come up to me and ask me in the gym questions from time to time. And I thought, what would happen if I took a little workout program that I created from my computer and printed right there in my dorm room and listed it for sale on eBay, which was still a relatively new platform. And just to see what would happen, to make $5 and $10 and buy a pizza or something like that. And to my delight, surprise, people actually bought this thing, this one-page printout that probably had misspellings and was poorly done. But they bought it and they liked it enough that they left positive feedback, which led in time to a sort of a slow snowballing effect, where the positive feedback led to more sales. And next thing I know, this one-page thing is selling a lot.
This sounds a bit like how Facebook got started.
Right. I'm just about $50 billion short. But so this one-page thing, I turned it into 2 pages and 10 pages and 50 pages. And I got to a point where I said, hey, what if I learn about self-publishing a book? And this was about 17 years ago or so, and it was even a little more difficult. It was a lot more difficult to self-publish then, even than it is today. But it was kind of a crazy thought. But I went and I did a lot of research. I started buying books, and to talk about celebrities, the books, the authors that I read, the Jonathan Kirsch and Brian Judd and Dan Pointer, these people in my mind were celebrities. And as I've gotten to meet some of these people, it's like that. And that's no lie there. So I started reading all these books, and I went through the process and published my own book, and was fortunate enough. I was selling at the time on eBay. I was selling through an Amazon program, and the sales were good enough that I was able to be picked up for distribution by Cardinal Publishers Group, by Tom Doherty.
Tom was a guest on the program.
Yeah. Tom is the reason that I joined the board. He's been sort of a pseudo mentor figure to me because I was so young at the time, and his company took my book on, and then and so over the years I developed a nice relationship with him, and he sort of pushed me to come on the board, and I'm sort of diverging here, but that's what got me on the board. But through this experience in publishing my own book and building sort of the infrastructure in doing that, you know, working with editors, working with graphic people, and then the distribution piece, I then eventually branched out and started publishing other authors with this same infrastructure I built up. That led to the creation of a publishing company called Price World Publishing, which is still operating today. We still do a few books a year. And I say it's a traditional publishing company, as that term has become used in recent years, in that the publisher takes on all the costs and all the risk and all of the legwork. The author, in turn, gives up rights and then receives a small royalty, which is in contrast to what I'm now doing with Gatekeeper Press. But so I started this Price World Publishing, and that lasted for a while. It's still going on. And then as the years ticked by and the technological advances in publishing continued, things like print on demand, where the cost of books and the cost coming down, the quality of print on demand went up. And then with ebook, the proliferation of ebooks, in my mind, seeing these technological and cost barriers coming down for authors to self-publish, I sort of flipped the business model I had long been doing with Price World Publishing to create Gatekeeper Press 3 years ago. Gatekeeper Press, we still do all the same back-end work that a publisher does, but instead of the publisher taking on the rights, control, costs, and then retaining most of the proceeds, the author pays a fee for services, and then they retain the 100% of the rights, control, and earn 100% of the proceeds. So that is a very long-winded answer to your question.
and here you are today.
Yeah.
And so Gatekeeper Press is not what is now called a hybrid publisher. You are a service provider who basically takes the author's manuscripts and turns it into a book for them, and then works with them to sell it and market and distribute. Not market it so yeah. much, but yeah. to get it out. As the author chooses, it's entirely their work, right?
That is correct. Yes, yeah. The author, to use an IBPA term, author publisher rather than self published author, but the authors we work with, and we do also work with small publishing companies, but they are the publisher. They have control throughout the whole process, over their metadata decisions, over everything, and we just work to implement it. So to answer your question. Yes, I classify Gatekeeper Press as a service provider versus a hybrid publisher. And one of the things that IBPA has done in recent months is come up with this hybrid publisher checklist.
Right, right.
And I'm very proud to say that although Gatekeeper Press is a service provider, we do tick off a whole lot of those checkboxes because we are trying to do a really good job for both our authors and for this author publisher community in general to try to
right. I mean, basically, everyone is striving to publish to professional standards,
right.
And the difference is maybe who's paying all the costs,
right.
and who owns the
property
when it comes out. So
right.
There are a lot of different shades of gray in between, mm-hmm. I guess. So if you want to check out Gatekeeper Press, what is the online address for that?
It is gatekeeperpress.com.
Gatekeeperpress.com. you could probably figure that out for yourself. So that's great, and mm-hmm. I understand business is going very well, so congratulations.
Thank you.
But let's talk about IBPA, because you're really here as board chair today, and you've been on the board for – you were on the board for a couple number of years, and now you've been chair for a while. So how has the how has IBPA changed since you started, what, was it 4 or 5 years ago?
It's I think it's been 4 years exactly.
4 years.
I've been following in your footsteps, first as a board member at large, then into the treasurer role right after you left, and then into the chairman role.
I was a terrible treasurer.
We're still looking for hundreds of thousands of dollars in offshore accounts.
Let's edit that remark out of there.
Yeah, I want to find it myself. But well, so the makeup of, I think, the independent publishing community in general has been skewing a little bit more and more towards author publishers. And so on the board, we're having to not deal with it, but address it in a sense that we have to constantly discuss who our membership is, what we want them to be, what their aspirations should be. So this is something that we talk about almost every meeting, trying to define our membership and determine what is what best suits their needs.
Well, do you feel like the personality of the membership has changed? You said that there are more author publishers than there were before. Is that because any particular change in the industry, or is it more the way that IBPA is presenting itself to the world?
I think that's a great question. I think it is the former. I think it's the changing makeup of the industry. Because IBPA, we stand for publishing standards and quality and excellence, and whether that is to a member who is already established or one who is just starting, an author publisher who has aspirations. So we try to structure the organization, the association, to have this higher degree of standards where someone who's just starting off can attain what we're trying to do. So I think we're still trying to cater to a professional independent publisher, which can include author publishers. But for them, it's more aspirational than the existing sort of mid-size.
Where do you think independent publishers or author publishers or IBPA type publishers are in terms of the rest of the publishing industry? Do you think respect for an author publisher has increased, stayed the same? Is there still a problem with a stigma getting reviews?
I think that there is still a stigma. I think that it is not quite as bad as it has been in the past, but I think it's still significant. And
as a result of what?
Well, as a result of for decades and centuries, the publishing industry has existed with these gatekeepers. And in fact, that's where that name of my company came from, the idea that opening the gates to more people. So there have been, if you were chosen by one of these gatekeepers at a traditional publishing house, that's sort of a validation. You are worthy. And so for a long time, people who were self-publishing, it seemed that, well, you weren't worthy this way, and now you're trying to do it another way. And I think that as the industry has moved towards a lot more self-publishing, because of those cost barriers and technological barriers coming down, we are seeing more and more very successful author publishers. Some of the biggest books that come out from time to time are done by author publishers. So I think it's lessening. However, it still does exist, and I see it all the time every day with my authors, not only in soliciting reviews from trade magazines or high-profile people who can give endorsements, but also in distribution. It's difficult for author publishers to get their books onto bookshelves without going through the more traditional channels. So I think that that discrimination bias definitely still exists. It's getting better, but it's my hope, both in my capacity at IBPA and with Gatekeeper Press, that we can elevate the author publishers, help them achieve a high standard of excellence, so that in time, and hopefully not too much time, this stigma will fade even more.
I wonder if it's the perceived, say, lack of excellence. That's not a very good way of saying it. Or is it more just a resistance to a club being open to anyone? You know, the way golf clubs used to be all male, or they were segregated, and it's like, well, part of the reason that we enjoy this is that we're exclusive in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, we control our own market, and all these author publishers and self publishers and hybrid publishers coming in and flooding the market, it just makes things very confusing for us, and we'd rather they weren't there at all.
Absolutely, yeah, and I mean that in a way that, you know, is a logical way for them to react, because they've had the market cornered for so long, and now they have to compete in this new world. And so I guess in some of the examples you described, people are always resistant to change, and this is changing, and it's happening, and it's going to happen one way or another. And so I think what is so great that IBPA is doing is stepping forward, taking the lead to help this community, author publishers, produce books at a high standard, so that they hopefully will not be discriminated against because of a perception of poor quality.
Well, the hybrid publisher initiative is interesting in that regard, because I think the people who run the hybrid publishing companies, they act like gatekeepers. They are curators. They evaluate the material that comes into them, and they don't publish anything. So an author could come in and say, here's $20,000, publish my book. And if they don't think that it's a good fit for them, or it's not a good book, they won't take the money. As opposed to the old days when you had companies like, I don't want to use their name, but it begins with a V. And they had a reputation for basically publishing anything and making a lot of promises to authors about sales
that
would just never come true. The hybrid publishers that exist today seem to be much more above board about dealing with author expectations and where the money goes and who pays for what. And by guarding their brand and producing quality, assuring quality and, you know, every aspect, design, editorial, et cetera, they're kind of diffusing that argument that the old gatekeepers used to make, saying, well, the quality is just so irregular and erratic that we just don't want to take a chance on it.
Right. And also hybrid publishers are sharing in the cost of putting this together. So they've got skin in the game. So it's an added reason for them to want to publish something of high quality.
So I think this hybrid... what is the name of
I think it's just the hybrid checklist.
Hybrid checklist. I think in the annals of publishing history, and you can quote me on this, folks, but I know no one will, I think it'll go down as like a major step forward. It really sort of moves the line toward respectability. I find publishers quite respectable for the most part, but we know that, I mean, they have been unfairly stigmatized over all these years, and that's something that IBPA has done. And now IBPA is also an advocate for other issues. One thing I recall from my time on the board was being able to get reviews in certain magazines, you know, that they would say no self-published books, know this, know that. And so the book could only be reviewed if it came in from a quote-unquote legitimate publisher. And I know IBPA has done a lot to work with those magazines to get them to change their standards of acceptance.
That's the core of what a association like IBPA should be doing, is advocating for our membership. And that's a big segment of our membership. And the advocacy committee just does excellent work. The hybrid checklist we were just talking about, I agree with you in its importance. It's really that the term has existed, but we're sort of defining it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's giving it a definition, and it has received a lot of praise from members of our industry. The Authors Guild came out very much in favor of it. There have been other places. And for the reasons you were describing about how there are a number, even today still, of unsavory actors in the publishing services world that will take advantage of authors and charge them enormous sums of money and give them nothing in return. This hybrid checklist, one of the main benefits of it is that it allows readers to, if they're looking to get their book published and they're shopping it around to traditional publishers and then looking to hybrid publishers, it helps them realize, go check line by line, and is this a company that I should work with, because they do these things. And so I think for that reason, it's a really positive for the industry.
Well, Robbie Price, thank you very much for coming to talk to us today, taking time out of your busy schedule on the floor at PubU 2018 here in Austin, Texas. Been great speaking with you. Thank you very much for your service to IBPA, and best of luck in your future life as with Gatekeeper Press.
Thank you so much, Peter. Thank you for having me, and thank you for everything you do. This podcast is an amazing, impressive thing you're doing, and we so appreciate it, IBPA, and we love having you still helping out with things. You are a fantastic chair, and it's just great. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks a lot for coming by, Robbie.
Thanks again to Robbie Price for taking time out to speak with me during PubU. This whole idea of author publishers being stigmatized that Robbie talks about, it really raises a lot of issues. It makes me kind of mad. I'm not naive. I've been in book publishing for over 40 years. And my conclusion after all that time is that the biggest single factor keeping indie publishers still looking in from the outside is, after all that stuff about vetting and quality control has dealt the death blow it deserves, it's laziness. The book publishing industry is lazy, loath to change, mired in inefficiencies that are both costly and toxic. It is systemically unwilling to take the steps necessary to open itself to new voices and new retail channels and new audiences and new means of acquisition. Instead, well, we have our truckloads going back and forth across America, carrying the same bestsellers one way as potential sales and then the way back as returns. This system is dumb and inefficient. And because of that, it's almost impossible for smaller publishers to break in, because it is just too expensive if you're not already in one of the systems that relies on its economy of scale to solve its inherent inefficiency. Big wholesalers like Ingram are wasteful, but there is so much volume that the mini wastes are absorbed and are made up for by the huge sellers that the big publishers are lucky or smart enough sometimes to have from time to time. Everyone else gets scraps. Technologies exist to change all this. You know, Amazon is a good example, marrying convenience, low costs, high volume, and efficiency with an enormous diversity of offerings. Books from everyone and everywhere, available in every corner of the country. And yet, instead of getting praised, they are seen by many in the book publishing industry as the enemy. Well, I don't think Amazon is the enemy. It's a bully, yeah, and it has way too much power. But fundamentally, it's on the right track. Now, if you don't agree, let me know. Tweet to me using the handle @PeterGoodman or @IBPA. Just a reminder, if you are already a member of IBPA, we appreciate your support, and be sure and let us hear from you. If you'd like to learn more about IBPA or are considering joining, check out the IBPA website at ibpa-online.org. And just a reminder again, the opinions you hear on this podcast are mine and not necessarily IBPA's. Thanks so much for listening to Inside Independent Publishing. Keep your nose in that book. And as my bosses in Japan used to say, let's have publishing fun.